You're listening to Radio Looks Loose, and I'm your host, Steve Matthews. Thanks for joining me for episode 113. The title of this episode is Ken Paxton Does the Lord's Work. Yeah, we actually had some amazing good news on the immigration front this past year. You know, I mean, I've talked about immigration, the Biden regime's immigration policy here over the past 3 years. I've written about it, and there's almost nothing good at all to report about it. But there is, a very significant development, and it has to do with a lawsuit brought by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton last week. And I want to go over that with you, and I think you're going to find this very interesting. But before we get to that, I just wanted to say I hope everybody had a good week since the last time we talked. I've had a pretty good week this week. You know, I mean, the weather, I mean, it was very spring-like here in the Cincinnati area. Although I have to say, Old Man Winter staged a bit of a comeback here in Friday evening and here on Saturday. We got a little bit of snow last night, sort of in the evening on Friday. It was pretty cold. It was in the 30s. And then this morning when I got up, I went to Bible study, and there were, oh goodness, I mean, there was just like a cake of ice on my windshield of my car, and I had to get that defrosted. It wasn't too much. It was just a little bit. And then when I went to Bible study, I came back out a couple hours later, there was more ice on my car. So, I mean, yeah, that's not fair. I had to de-ice my car twice on a Saturday morning. But, oh well. Anyway, you know what was the thing too? It always seems like the Saturdays that I'm free, and this Saturday was actually pretty free. I didn't have anything scheduled. Those Saturdays, it's cold out, so I can't go ride. I'd love to get my bike out and go riding. Well, there's been some Saturdays here in February, they've actually been pretty nice, been in the 50s, that type of thing. Well, those were Saturdays I had things scheduled and I couldn't go riding. So I still haven't been riding. I guess I don't think I've had my bike out here in 2024 yet. I almost said 2022 for some reason. It's 2024. I'm pretty sure it's 2024. And I haven't had my bike out in 2024 for so far. But hopefully, you know, I'll have to take a look, maybe see. Well, of course, next Saturday, I do have an interview. I'm scheduled to interview my good friend and brother in Christ, Tim Kaufman, next Saturday. We're going to be talking about a paper that he wrote. I'm going to be doing that interview for the Trinity Foundation. We're going to be talking about his paper, Julius and the Roman Prerogative, which the title of it, you hear it, and you might say, well, what's that all about? Well, it's actually pretty interesting because there was a claim that's made by the Roman Catholic Church based on a letter that was written by Bishop of Rome, Julius. They claim it was Pope Julius. And it's a letter, and let's see, I'm not going to get this quote exactly right, but it was something to this effect. It's customary for you to write to us first. And what they claim is that this is an early claim of papal supremacy. You know, the Bishop of Rome ran everything, and you know that all appeals were to be made to him, all legal appeals. This was in the context of a legal case, and that he was the supreme decider in legal matters. And this goes back, I believe, it was in the 4th century AD. So this was pretty early on. Well, anyway, Tim's analysis of this whole thing, you know, what he says, and I think he presents his case, it's a good strong case for this, that in fact the Pope was not, the Pope, or Julius, well, let's call him Julius, that Julius was not writing from the standpoint that he was the supreme authority, but he was like an appellate judge, you know, so there had been a ruling in a lower court, he was the court above that, and then there was actually a court, there were actually a couple of, at least two levels above him. So he wasn't writing as some, supreme honcho, dictating to everyone in the Roman Empire. He was actually writing as an appellate judge, you know, a mid-level judge. He wasn't the supreme authority. So it really doesn't support the claims of Rome and papal supremacy. So anyway, well, Lord willing, we're going to have that that talk next week, and we'll get the podcast out and the video out relatively soon. So I'm looking forward to that. That's always always educational, enjoyable experience to talk to Brother Tim. In case you're listening here, I look forward to our conversation next Saturday. So anyway, let's see. Why don't we go ahead and dive into the main topic of the story here? You know, as I said, there is actually some good news. And what happened this past week is that Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas, he actually brought a lawsuit against a Roman Catholic organization located in El Paso, Texas. It's called Annunciation House. Now, I've talked some about El Paso in this program before. I've got some good friends that live in El Paso, good brothers in Christ. Say hi to them. Say Tim Shaughnessy and let's see who else, and Carlos Montillo. So Tim and Carlos, guys, it's great to hope you get a chance to listen to this, and we're going to be talking some about the El Paso and Bishop Mark Seitz and Annunciation House. And I have a feeling this is going to be an ongoing story here for some time. So, Lord willing, I hope to be able to cover that for you on a regular basis. But tonight we're going to do our first opportunity to just take an initial look at what's going on here. So why don't we do this? I'm going to go and we're going to get the story here in front of me. And there's actually quite a bit of press coverage on this, and I'm just gonna. I haven't had a chance, obviously, to survey everything, but I've managed to get a few good things here, and I think we'll be able to get a good sense of what's going on here, at least initially. So let's take a look at this. So this is a story. This is actually the first thing that I found on my own on Thursday morning. It's a story in the National Pulse. It's a conservative publication, but it says here, it's got a headline, it says, Texas AG, that's Attorney General, Texas AG Ken Paxton sues Catholic NGO for facilitating illegal immigration. Now, NGO is a non-governmental organization. That's a term that's used, it seems like it's gotten a lot more popular in recent years, but it basically is the idea of a charitable or a non-profit organization. And there's been a lot of discussion here recently about NGOs and their role in facilitating illegal immigration into the country. And the biggest one, in fact, the 800-pound gorilla, and this was in the words of a study that was done by the Heritage Foundation a little bit over a year ago, toward the end of 2022, they called Catholic Charities the 800-pound gorilla of the NGOs facilitating this mass migration into the United States of America. And they're right about that, by the way. There's no question about that. But it's not just, you know, Catholic Charities is just one organization out of many Roman Catholic organizations that is bringing, it's facilitating illegal immigration into the United States. You know, this mass border rush, or sometimes call it the Biden border rush, all these millions of people. You know, there was a story in Fox News this past week, and I think they put the total number of people who've come in during the Biden regime as, I think, 7.5 million. So 7.5 million people. I mean, that is a remarkable number. And, you know, I've seen numbers that are actually higher than that. I've seen some people talk about numbers of over 10 million. And, you know, that's certainly very possible. But, I mean, let's just go with the more conservative number. You know, where we'll say 7.5 million. Well, that was bigger, in fact, in the Fox News article. And I don't have it here in front of me, but in that Fox News article, they talked about that being more than the population of 36 of our 50 states. So that's how big this illegal alien flood the Biden regime has loosed on the United States. And it's all been done intentionally. I mean, in Biden, he tries to give this excuse. Oh, it's just the Republicans. It's all Donald Trump's fault. It's the Republicans. They won't give me the power. That's complete nonsense. He inherited a secure border. And he immediately removed the provisions that made it secure on his very first day as a president. He signed a whole stack full of executive orders that that basically deep-sixed all of a lot of the achievements of the Trump administration when it came to the border. It was all done intentionally. He's a Roman Catholic Jesuit influenced president doing the bidding of the Vatican. And that's, so it's not surprising that he would carry out and behave in the way that he did. So anyway, unless you've been hiding under a rock or something, you know that we've had this tremendous invasion that has been taking place. And so that this headline here, and I think this is very significant, that Ken Paxton sued this place called the Annunciation House. Let's just read a little bit out of the story. This is from the National Pulse. It says, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has filed a lawsuit against Catholic NGO Annunciation House seeking revocation of its registration. Paxton alleges the nonprofit operational since the 1980s has been encouraging illegal immigration and hosting illegal immigrants in a stash house. As per their website, Annunciation House, based in El Paso, Texas, offers, quote, hospitality to migrants, immigrants, and refugees, end quote, with its volunteers living within the same facilities as their guests, predominantly from Mexico and Central America. And the lawsuit accuses the Annunciation House of, quote, openly and flagrantly violating many provisions of the law in a systematic fashion, end quote. These purported violations include providing shelter to illegal immigrants who have evaded law enforcement and engaged in human smuggling operations. Paxton often previously requested records from the organization to assess potential breaches of federal law. Subsequently, Annunciation House filed a countersuit against the Attorney General's office, alleging that the demands for records infringe on their constitutional rights of association due to their limited staff. So that's the National Pulse article. Now here's the actual, if you go, this is the press release from Ken Paxton's attorney general's office. This is what he says. It says, Attorney General Ken Paxton sues to end NGO's operations in Texas after discovering potential efforts to facilitate illegal immigration. And some of this is a quote very similar. Well, it's I think the article that we read there actually quotes somewhat from that. It says, here's something interesting. It says, the Office of the Attorney General reviewed significant public record information strongly suggesting Annunciation House is engaged in legal violations such as facilitating illegal entry to the United States, alien harboring, human smuggling, and operating a stash house. Now, a stash house is pretty much what it sounds like, because you might look at that and say, well, okay, so what on earth is a stash house? It's basically a house. It's a temporary shelter where you put a bunch of illegal aliens until you can, bus them or fly them out to destinations hither and yon in the United States. And it talks here in the second paragraph, it talks a little bit about the legal battle that's been going on. It says the Office of Attorney General demanded access to certain specified records to evaluate these potential legal violations, but Annunciation House refused to produce a single document. Now, that's a big surprise. I mean, this is one of the things when, the Roman Catholic organizations, the Roman Catholic Church or organizations affiliated with the Roman Catholic Church, they don't think that they have to obey the law. Now, this is a major problem with Roman Catholicism. They think that they are outside or maybe more likely above the law. And they don't have to, they're not subject to the civil authorities. They can do pretty much what they want. They consider themselves sovereign. And of course, the Vatican City, the Holy See, is a sovereign country. And essentially all of these extensions of the Roman Catholic Church, whether these local parishes or these organizations that are affiliated with Rome, they are all part of that network. So, I mean, they all consider themselves, I think, to be sort of a sovereign foreign organization. And so, yeah, I mean, when they're subpoenaed, they don't respond. There were some papers filed by four congressmen. I think one of them was Andy Biggs, Chip Roy, Tom Tiffany, and another gentleman whose name I can't recall right now. But they wrote letters from their congressional. These are all Republican U.S. congressmen, and they wrote to Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley, which is just a huge facilitator of this this illegal alien invasion, and they told them to retain their information, to keep their records, because they were going to subpoena them, or potentially could subpoena them, some of these records. And the last that I heard, and I did a little follow up, and I haven't really seen much motion on this. The last I heard, that Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley was stonewalling the congressman. Yeah, big shock there. And so Annunciation House is doing the same thing to Ken Paxton. You know, these Roman Catholic organizations don't think they have to obey mere civil authorities. They think they're above the law. And anyway, the press release from Ken Paxton continues, and the consequence of a flagrant failure to comply with such a request is that the Office of the Attorney General may terminate the business's right to operate in Texas. The Office of the Attorney General's lawsuit seeks to revoke Annunciation House's authorization to do business in Texas and ask the court to appoint a receiver to liquidate their assets. Well, good. You know, that is doing the Lord's work. And we're gonna talk about this a little bit more detail, but Ken Paxton is doing the Lord's work. That's called putting the firepower on the target. That's exactly what needs to be done, because there is no bigger facilitator of the illegal alien invasion into the United States than the Roman Catholic Church. This is the system of Antichrist, and that is what they are doing. That is what you are seeing. This border invasion that you are seeing is the work of Antichrist. And this is something, and again, I've talked about this many, many times on this program, and I guess I'm going to continue to talk about it many, many times, because unfortunately, not too many other people seem to want to talk about it, but it's something that needs to be talked about. This is something, Protestants used to understand that the Roman Catholic Church is a system of Antichrist. It's headed by the office of Antichrist. That's the papacy. The papal Antichrist, that's something that's taught in the scriptures. That's something that's foretold in the scriptures. That was something that was part of the confession of the Presbyterian Church, the Westminster Confession. It described the Pope as the Antichrist, the man of sin and son of perdition, who exalteth himself in the church against Christ and all that is called God. And that language was removed in the 1903 edition of the Westminster Confession. According to John Robbins, one of his articles, I think it was The Religious Wars of the 21st Century, I think is where he has this. But he says it was removed under the influence of postmillennialists in the Presbyterian Church. And so now, over the past, I guess, 1903, that was, 121 years ago. And so for the last 121 years, basically, the Presbyterian Church has been blinded to the identity of Antichrist. And now it seems like very few people, even if they're Bible-believing conservative Presbyterians, they don't know who Antichrist is. And, that the same holds true with other Protestant or evangelical denominations. They do not know who Antichrist is. That it's the office of the papacy. That's who it is. It's not a single pope. It's the office. So, I mean, the current occupant of that office is Jorge Bergoglio, is doing business as Francis I. Prior to that, it was Karl Ratzinger, Benedict XVI. And prior to him, it was Karl, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He's got it's like Wittola. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody actually say his last name. It's a Polish last name, and the spelling is, as an English speaker, when you look at it, it's a bit unusual. I don't know that I've ever actually heard anybody say his name, but Pope John Paul II, who was Pope for a pretty good chunk of my life. I think he became Pope in 1978, and when did he, it was like 2003, 2004. I don't know. I'm a little hazy on when he died. But he was Pope for well over 20 years, and now he's been made a saint, at least by the Roman Catholic Church. They call him a saint. And So he was also an occupant of the office of Antichrist. And all of the popes preceding him, Pope John Paul I, who was only pope for, and I remember this as a kid, I think this was like 1978, I was 12 years old or so. And I remember Pope John Paul I, he was elected pope, and he died within 2 months of taking office. There's some people think maybe that he was actually offed. I don't know. I mean, there's certainly a lot of intrigue in the Vatican and things, and you know, who knows what may have gone on. I haven't studied it out myself, but there's some people that have some theories, and maybe they're right. I don't know. I'm not going to try to prove that out here, but it's interesting what some people say about that. But anyway, yeah, all of these people, you know, going back to all of their predecessors, these are all antichrists, and whoever comes after Francis I, he will also be an occupant of the office of Antichrist. But yeah, that is the Antichrist. It's the papal Antichrist. He is the head of the system, and you know, as Antichrist, you know, his father is the devil. That's where he gets his power ultimately. And, you know, that's, you know, the devil is not your friend. Satan is not your friend. You know, he's here to kill and destroy and ruin. And that's, of course, what you're seeing the Roman Catholic Church do. They're ruining the United States of America with their illegal alien hordes. And Rome's involvement in this is very clear. They are the leading destroyers of the United States of America via illegal immigration. And I don't think nearly enough has been made of this by Protestants. I mean, this is something, and that's really, again, you know, one of the goals that I have for doing these podcasts, for writing these blog pieces. I want to put the spotlight on this. And I think it's important, and I do this especially for my fellow believers, my fellow Protestants, my fellow Reformed Christians who believe the Bible, but have never been taught about the identity of Antichrist and the work of Antichrist. And the, you know, the problem is, you know, we don't know who Antichrist is, so we can't identify his work, even though he's doing it right in front of our face. I mean, you see these, I mean, literally millions of people, according to Fox News, 7.5 million people in just the last 3 years, people greater than the population of 36 states. If you made it a city, it would be the second largest city in the United States after New York. And this is going on. It's being done right in front of our face, and yet people do not recognize who's doing this. You know, a lot of people ask, who's doing this? Well, I'm telling you, this is the work of Antichrist. This is what's going on. You have a Roman Catholic president carrying out the Vatican's immigration policy, which they laid out very clearly. They've been talking about doing this sort of thing since at least the 1850s and well before that. If you go back and you read Charles Chinnikin, maybe what we need to do is on one of these podcasts is read through some of the documentation that Charles Chinnikin provided in his book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. That was a book that was published first, I believe, in 1889. And he details out some letters that were written to him, because Charles Chinnikin, he was actually a Roman Catholic priest. He was French Canadian. He was born in Canada. He immigrated to the United States, and he had letters that were written to him by high church officials. For instance, one of them was the Bishop of Chicago, a gentleman by the name of Vandeveld, his Bishop Vandeveld. And talked about his, you know, congratulated Chinnikin on his glorious work of, you know, flooding the United States with all these Roman Catholics, and how, you know, they were gonna take over the Great Plains of the Midwest for the Roman Catholic Church, secure it for our church, as what the bishop said. And this was in the early 1850s. You know, this was 170 years ago, and I'm fairly certain it was going on before that as well. I know I've talked about this before, but again, I want to bring this back because I think this is such an important point that it needs to be talked about time and time and time again. You can't just say this sort of thing once. You know, one of the things a good teacher does is to repeat himself. And I think it's important. I consider this sort of a teaching function when you're talking about doing a podcast. And I want you to know, and I say this very seriously to my fellow Christians, my Protestant brothers and sisters, you have got to understand who Antichrist is. And that is going to open your eyes to understand what's going on right in front of your face on the evening news. And when you see all this horrible stuff going on, these people flooding across the country, these drugs flooding across our country, into our country. I was talking to a friend of mine, I'm not going to say who it is, but he's somebody who's in law enforcement. And he knows a good deal about the tactics that are used by these drug cartels. And he was talking to me about that, even just a little bit. And it was fascinating to hear what he had to say. You know, and again, this is all stuff that's being facilitated either directly or indirectly by the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, the fact that you have this open border and just all these people and drugs and stuff flooding across that southern border, this is all the result of the work of the Roman Catholic Church, principally. Now, they're not the only organization that's involved with that, but they are, in the words of the Heritage Foundation, the 800-pound gorilla behind this kind of stuff. The work that's going on here, again, it is the work of Antichrist. And I am so glad to see Ken Paxton actually taking these guys on. And we need to pray for Ken Paxton. Now, as I said, he is doing the Lord's work. I'm not joking when I say that. I don't say that lightly. He really is. This is the Lord's work. And I was greatly encouraged when I saw that. And we need to pray. You know, I mean, the Bible talks about that, right? The New Testament, you know, it says, you know, talks about pray for those in authority. And that's something that we need to do. I don't do that enough myself. I have to admit that that's something I need to do a better job on. But we're to pray for those in authority, that we can live peaceful lives, that we can live in a society where the rule of law is taken seriously. I mean, that's one of the problems that we have right now, is that if we have become less Christian as a nation, the rule of law is fading away as well. I mean, you can see that sort of thing in a number of areas. You know, think of these terrible rulings that they've had in New York against Donald Trump, for example, in a case where nothing was done, from what I have been able to read and understand, there was nothing that was done wrong, and yet he's being fined. Was found guilty, he's being fined. I think the fine is now up to like 460 some million. Initially it was 350 million. Now somehow it's gone up by 110 million. I'm not sure exactly how that happened. And apparently he's being charged interest of like $87,000 a day. But that's lawlessness. You know, and a lot of observers, and these aren't necessarily people who are even, you know, Donald Trump supporters. I mean, these are just like businessmen or companies or what have you, they are seriously considering pulling back from doing business in New York because you can't trust the law. The law has become arbitrary. It's become a weapon in the hands of people who want to get Donald Trump. And that's a very dangerous situation. Even if you don't like Donald Trump, it's a situation where you have a political persecution going on, not a legal prosecution. And that's not a circumstance that's conducive to doing business. You have to have the rule of law to be able to have a first world economy. And to the degree that we lose the rule of law in the United States, to that degree, we are going to become impoverished. So, anyway, let's continue on with that story on Ken Paxton. Now, here's an article that was given to me by a good friend of mine, Michael. I think you may be listening to this. I want to say thanks for sending this article to me. It's from the Daily Wire. It's got a headline here. It says, Texas Attorney General sues NGO over suspected facilitation of illegal immigration. Now, if you're not familiar with the Daily Wire, that's a it's a conservative news organization, so I think generally they would look at the circumstance on our southern border and disapprove of the policies of the Biden regime. But let's read through this article and see what it has to say here. This says, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing to revoke a non-governmental organization's license to operate in the state. saying that his office suspects the organization facilitating illegal immigration. Now, of course, there hasn't been any legal case made. I don't know, how much discovery has been done so far. The legal proceedings have yet to even follow. But yeah, I would be pretty confident that the Annunciation House is guilty as charged by Ken Paxton, because this, facilitating illegal immigration. What were the specific things that he said here? They engaged in legal violations such as facilitating illegal entry to the United States, alien harboring, human smuggling, and operating a stash house. When you read and study what the activities of the Roman Catholic Church on the border, this is the kind of stuff that they do. So I am pretty confident, even though we haven't seen the court proceedings take place at this point, or any kind of public statements made. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Annunciation House is doing all of this stuff. So let's see what else it has to say here. Paxton's office said it suspects the group is facilitating illegal entry in the United States, alien harboring, operating a stash house, and human smuggling. So that's quoting there from the Attorney General's press release. Now, here's a statement by Paxton, quote, "The chaos at the southern border has created an environment where NGOs funded with taxpayer money from the Biden administration facilitate astonishing horrors, including human smuggling," end quote, Paxton said. And Paxton continues, quote, "While the federal government perpetuates the lawlessness destroying this country, my office works day in and day out to hold these organizations responsible for worsening illegal immigration," end quote. So, yeah, this is one of the things that's interesting. You often see Roman Catholic officials, and we're going to take a look at a statement by Bishop Mark Seitz here to this effect here shortly. But a lot of Roman Catholic officials, they will get out and they'll cry these crocodile tears. Oh, boo. Oh, there's all this human smuggling. We have these committees and we deplore this human smuggling and all, the drugs and all this other stuff in migrant deaths in the desert. Well, it's their policies that are causing these things. It's the policies that the Roman Catholic Church advocates result in human smuggling. It's the policies of the Roman Catholic Church that result in all of these drugs flooding in. It's the policies of the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm talking about policies. I mean, their immigration policies, the things that they advocate that result in people dying in the desert, horrible deaths out in the desert. When you read about these migrant caravans, for instance, they talk about all the sexual assaults and rapes that go on in these. These are all the results of the Roman Catholic Church. And it's not just that. There was a story out, and I'm not going to have time to touch on it much here today, but there was a story about a University of Georgia student, a young woman. I think she was a nursing student, I think. She was raped and murdered, I think, by an illegal alien. And, her blood, as far as I'm concerned, is on the hands and part of the Roman Catholic Church, because they are the ones that advocate these kinds of policies that bring these kinds of people into the United States of America and subject Americans to terrible things. Who knows? I don't know if this guy, and I haven't had a chance to look into it. But maybe this guy was even brought in by one of these Catholic groups. I don't know. There was a guy a few years ago here in Ohio. He was he basically did a sort of jihadi thing up at Ohio State University. And I don't know, he drove his car into a crowd and he hopped out with a machete and he started trying to attack people. And he ended up being shot dead by, I think it was somebody was working for the Ohio State University, an officer with the Ohio State University shot and killed him before he could really do any damage. I don't think anybody was killed. I think there may be some people who were injured. But that was within the last 5 years. But anyway, this guy had been brought in by Catholic Charities. He was one of the people that they were paid to actually house and feed and all of this stuff. And once they were done with their term of taking care of them, he was turned loose. And anyway, he ended up in Ohio. And he went jihad. at Ohio State University. So who knows? Maybe this guy that did this this terrible crime at the University of Georgia, maybe he had his entrance into the United States facilitated by a Catholic facility. I don't know. We'll find out. But even if he didn't, there are many other people who have, probably in the millions of people, who have, to some degree or another, had their illegal entry into the United States aided by the Roman Catholic Church. This is serious. This is serious stuff. It's not a joke. Let's see. Paxton continues. He said, this is going back to the article. This is the Daily Wire article. Paxton said the organization, talking about Annunciation House here, Paxton said the organization had not produced a single document his office had requested. His suit is to revoke the ability of Annunciation House to operate in the state, comes after the organization sued Texas to block document requests. Well, you know, again, I think we need to pray that that Ken Paxton is successful in what he wants to do. And let's see here. Ruben Garcia, this is a guy that founded an Annunciation House. I've seen conflicting reports. If you go on the Annunciation House website, I think they say they were founded in 78, although I've seen news reports say they weren't founded until the 80s. But Ruben Garcia, director of Annunciation House, said Paxton's suit was unfounded. Quote, the Attorney General's illegal, immoral, anti-faith position to shut down Annunciation House is unfounded, he said. And Garcia continues, quote, if the work that Annunciation House conducts is illegal, so too is the work of our local hospitals, schools, and food banks, end quote. Well, you know, that's a bit of a lie. That's not really true. There are federal laws in place, and there shouldn't be, but there are federal laws in place that require, I know for a fact, hospitals to treat people, even if they're illegal aliens. Schools to teach the children of illegal aliens, regardless of the, even though their parents are illegal status, your tax dollars still have to go to support and to teach the children of people who should not be in the country. And this is federal law. These hospitals and schools, I don't know about the food banks, but I know for a fact, with hospitals and schools, they are required to provide services by law. Annunciation House is not required to provide those services. They choose to do it. So let's continue through here. A criminal investigation with the Texas Attorney General's office said that a source gave them information on Annunciation House through a staff member with the group. Very interesting. The staff member stated if a person crossed the border in the United States undetected, that they, Annunciation House, would be able to assist them and provide shelter at their facility, the investigator said. The staff member stated if a person crossed the border and was placed in a shelter by immigration, then they wouldn't be able to provide any shelter. The staff member advised the best way to enter, the best way is to enter via the port of entry, but that is not always ideal. The staff member also advised that they could help a person with paperwork, and in the past, they had ways to help people on the other side of the border of Mexico to assist persons in coming over, but currently did not have that available service in Mexico, the criminal investigator added. So, anyway, that's a little bit about what's going on there with Annunciation House. I thought there was a quote in here. I guess that's not in that article. It must be in a different article. One of the things that's very interesting is that the press coverage, see how we're doing on time here. The press coverage that has been given to this lawsuit, if you go to just the mainstream press, it's been almost all negative against Ken Paxton. Everybody thinks Annunciation House is awesome and that Ken Paxton is Darth Vader. And it's very interesting when you look at this. I mean, you look at reports in local El Paso media or you look at reports in national media. They all take the side of a poor little Annunciation House and this big bad attorney general is coming and just trying to cause them problems, and they haven't done nothing, and they haven't done anything at all. They're just doing the Lord's work. Well, I mean, that's a lot of nonsense. They're not doing the Lord's work. They're doing Antichrist's work. And here's just an example. This is very typical of the sort of thing that you read in the mainstream press. This is from KFOX14. I think this is an El Paso TV station, but it says, Texas AG moves to shut down El Paso's migrant shelter and Annunciation House. And Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is seeking to shut down Annunciation House, an El Paso Catholic nonprofit organization that has provided shelter and other services to migrants and immigrants for decades. And let's see here. There was, I want to see if I can find this quote, because there's a quote from a judge that was in the, that's in El Paso, that was actually pretty remarkable. Basically, he says, you don't mess with Ruben Garcia. It almost sounded like he wanted to lead a sort of insurrection, if you will. I don't think that that's in here, but let's take a quick look. No, not in here. But anyway, yeah, there's all kinds of press that is taking the side of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, one of the things, of course, that's kind of worth asking yourself is this question. Why, you know, I have a list of that I've been compiling over a number of years of Roman Catholic immigration organizations. And let's see, maybe I can show you that list here. Let's take a look. See if we can find that here. Do I see that? No, I don't. Well, here we go. Maybe this is it. Yeah, I think this is it here. Let's see how that looks. Okay, yeah. This is a list that I've been saving. Immigration organizations, Roman Catholic Church State. That's what the RCCS is. And right now, I've got 25 of them. And I'm quite sure that's not a complete list. It's actually more than 25, because I've got some kind of subheadings with a number of different organizations in them. But I keep finding new ones. I mean, it's like, you know, there's like that theory, I guess, what is it, a cockroaches? You know, you don't have just one cockroach. You know, you see one cockroach, you can be assured there's a whole bunch more. They're hidden someplace. Well, it's the same thing with these Roman Catholic immigration organizations. They're all over the place. And I mean, I know of at least two dozen or more than two dozen, and I'm sure that there are many others just operating on the southern border. Well, I've had Annunciation House on my radar screen for a number of years. I've known about them. So when I heard about that lawsuit, I wasn't exactly surprised to hear about it. Let's see else. What else do we have here? Oh, yeah. What I wanted to do is I wanted to show you a letter here. This was written by Mark Seitz. Mark Seitz is the Bishop of El Paso, but he's not just the Bishop of El Paso. And I sometimes wonder, and I don't know this for sure, but I think this may be one of the reasons why Ken Paxton went after Annunciation House instead of one of the other organizations, many other Roman Catholic organizations that are... helping facilitate this invasion, this migrant invasion. And the reason is because Annunciation House is in El Paso. Mark Seitz is the Bishop of El Paso. But he's not just the Bishop of El Paso. He is also the chair of the Migration Committee of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. I think that's a role he assumed about a year and a half ago. So he's, you know, he's a guy that's very influential within the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, in particular with as someone who's the head, the chair of this subgroup, this committee within the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's specifically dedicated to dealing with migration, what they call migration issues. So this is really not just the home turf of Mark Seitz, but it's also kind of the home turf of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And I haven't read anything that said, well, this is why Ken Paxton went after that. But I wonder perhaps maybe that if, whether that's a factor in his decision to go after Annunciation House, because you could probably go after any number of these Roman Catholic organizations. So anyway, Bishop Mark Seitz, not big surprise here. He comes out, the Most Reverend Mark D. Seitz, D.D., Bishop of El Paso. And what does the Most Reverend Mark Seitz, Mark J. Seitz, have to say? Statement in support of Annunciation House. Yeah, that's not a surprise. Dated February 22nd, so just a couple days ago. For generations, El Paso has worked hard to build a resilient and welcoming borderland community, a place of welcome and dignity. Today, however, we find ourselves in an impossible position, hemmed in on all sides. On one hand, we are challenged by serious federal neglect to provide a safe, orderly, and humane response to migration at our southern border. Okay, so let's stop with that right there. That is a lie. Now, one of the things that Mark Seitz and other advocates of this migrant invasion want you to believe is that this is somehow a force of nature. You know, kind of like a hurricane. You know, you've got what's that? The NOAA, I think it's one of the National Ocean, whatever it is, NOAA, I think it is. You know, it's the federal agency that tracks these storms, you know, like, say, hurricanes, this type of thing. And, you know, they want you to make it seem like this migrant invasion is kind of like a hurricane. You know, it's a naturally occurring process, something you and I can't do anything about. Nobody can do anything about it. It just happens. And what you have to do is just manage it. So it's this force of nature that has to be managed by Mark Seitz and others of his ilk. Well, that is a lie. The Roman Catholic Church is probably the single biggest organization causing this. They create this entire situation. They operate. Michelle Malkin talked about this. She talked about an underground railroad that runs the length of Mexico, all the way from the Guatemalan border up to the United States border, to funnel these migrants up here. And the Roman Catholic Church is deeply involved in that. So no, it's not a force of nature. This is something that's being caused. It's an organized event. It's not just a random force of nature that cannot be stopped. It is a policy. It's a policy. So he wants you to believe that, yeah, this is just, you know, we're hemmed in by this. This just flood of migrants. On the other hand, he says, we're now witnessing an escalating campaign of intimidation, fear, and dehumanization in the state of Texas, one characterized by barbed wire, harsh new laws penalizing the act of seeking safety at our border and targeting those who would offer aid as a response to faith. Well, again, that is a phenomenal lie. You know, the intimidation and fear and dehumanization is what the Roman Catholic Church is doing to the people of the United States of America, the citizens of the United States of America. We count as nothing in the eyes of Mark Seitz and other people. Not once have they ever shown any compassion on the people of the United States of America, the citizens of the United States of America, whom they expect to bear these costs. And if you're taxed into the ground, if you have murderers and rapists running around in your cities, if you have your kids can't get a decent education in the schools because they have to spend all their time and money dealing with the children of illegal aliens, Mark Seitz doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care how much inflation is caused by this massive amount of illegal aliens that are flooding into the country, how much housing is driven up, how much your job opportunities are destroyed, how much your taxes have to go up. You know, there's a story here. I'm not going to be able to get to it in any detail, but this is from Breitbart News. And it's got a headline, House GOP report, illegal aliens costing American hospitals billions in unpaid medical bills. Billions. And let's see, I don't know if they put I thought they put a figure on it here. Well, here we go. In January 2021, filing In a January 2021 filing challenging the Biden administration's deportation moratorium, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton wrote that his state alone was required to pay anywhere between $62 and $90 million per year to cover illegal aliens under its emergency Medicaid program. He also pointed out between 2006 and 2008, uncompensated costs borne by Texas state hospitals providing care to illegal aliens ranged from $597 million to $717 million. That's as much as $1.3 billion in May 2023 dollars. So, I mean, that's Ken Paxton just talking about the impact of illegal aliens just in his state. And it says here, months ago, the Federation for American Immigration Reform reported that illegal immigration costs the nation's hospital system, so just the hospital system, at least $23 billion annually, $8.2 billion of which is uncompensated medical care for illegal aliens. You know, here's another study. It says analysis, nearly 17 million illegal aliens in the United States cost Americans $163 billion annually. But does Mark Seitz care about that? No, he does not. He doesn't, you know, because he dehumanizes the American people. For him, the American people, their job is simply to sit down, shut up, and fork it over. Yeah, and this is their supposed gospel duty. Well, no, it isn't. You know, the gospel does not require the American people to have their nation destroyed by illegal alien hordes. There's nothing in the gospel that talks about that. That is a lie. That is a lie of Antichrist. It's theft. I mean, that's what Mark Seitz advocates for. He wants the government to steal money from you if you're an American citizen and use it to pay for illegal aliens. That's called theft. That's a violation of the Eighth Commandment. Thou shalt not steal. But in the Roman Catholic Church, stealing is okay if it's done for a good cause, if it's done for people who need the money. Well, you know, need does not entitle anyone to the property of another. We can get into that at some point. I think it's worth talking about in a little bit more detail. But the whole theory of Rome and private property, their idea of property is seriously flawed, and it is unbiblical, it is unchristian. Basically, they believe that the only legitimate title to property is need. So if somebody needs your property, even if it's your property, they have a right to take it. And if they can't take it themselves, they get the government to take it for you. I mean, that's the basis of socialism. It's called the universal destination of all goods. And we can get into that and talk about that maybe some in another podcast. But anyway, this is just, this statement. I'm not going to read through the whole thing here. But you know, this is just a series of lies that's put out by Mark Seitz. You know, the guy is a wolf. And, you know, he sits here listen to this. I'll just quote a little bit of this. For more than 45 years, Annunciation House has been an effective, compassionate, local response to a complex and broken immigration system, rooted in the gospel and born of an encounter between Ruben Garcia and Mother Teresa of Kolkata. He spells it Kolkata. I've always seen it as Calcutta. I always like how these people go and they change the spelling and pronunciation of these different places every few years, I guess, so they can be the cool kids and all the rest of us can be the... the dweebs who don't know what's going on. I guess if you're a cool kid like Mark Seitz, you could say Kolkata, not Calcutta, dimwits, some of the rest of us would. He's much more erudite than you and I. That's not a law. I mean, that is a lie. The work of Annunciation House is not rooted in the gospel. The Roman Catholic Church does not have the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, not by our works, not by taking some supposed sacrament from a priest, not through indulgences or any other such thing. We're justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, apart from any works of the law. That is not what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church specifically condemns it. So the people that run Annunciation House, and Mark cites, they don't even know what the gospel is, let alone believe it. Well, anyway, I probably better get wrapped up here. There's so much more to do here, and maybe we might even go. I'm sure we're going to probably talk about this some next week. But anyway, this is a very interesting story. It's a developing story, and it's a hopeful story. And I wanted to give you something to hope in a little bit, because it seems like so many things are negative. But, you know, be in prayer for Kent Paxton. And also remember this. You know, there's a saying. This came from the great English Baptist, Reformed Baptist, Charles Spurgeon. You know, he once made the comment. He says, it's every Christian's duty, bound in duty, he said, it's every Christian's bound in duty to pray against Antichrist. And, of course, you know, who is Antichrist? Well, you know, Antichrist is he described as popery in the Church of Rome. In fact, I've got the quote here. This is a good way to close here. I'll read this quote for you. This is Charles Spurgeon. It is the bounden duty of every Christian to pray against Antichrist. And as to what Antichrist is, no sane man ought to raise a question. If it be not popery, not the popery in the Church of Rome, there is nothing in the world that can be called by that name. If there were to be issued a hue and cry for Antichrist, we should certainly take up this church on suspicion. It would certainly not be let loose again, for it so exactly answers the description. And I think that's a good place to leave it. So I think you and I as Christians, not only do we need to pray for the efforts of Ken Paxton as he does battle with Antichrist, we need to pray against Antichrist ourselves. That's part of our job. So anyway, with that thought, I will leave you until next week, and wish you all a blessed Lord's Day tomorrow. And until then, may the Spirit of Christ guide you in all truth as you read and study God's Word.